From the Land Grant University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the sixth day of May 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, will join us to discuss not really the trade implications of the tweets from the president over the weekend, but really the fundamentals of supply, especially as it relates to soybeans. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast with the folks up at Brisk Pulse in Chicago and hear all about the cash grain segment with the guys here in Champaign County at the Andersons. And it all happens right here on Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look at what happened in Chicago this afternoon and get some analysis from Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Hey, Kurt, thank you so much for being with us for the day.
You're quite welcome. Glad to be here, Todd. Thank you.
So things really started yesterday afternoon for this week. Actually, only afternoon if you happen to be on the East Coast. About 11 o'clock, the president tweeting that he was really determined to go ahead and put some trade barriers on if things don't go his way the rest of this week. And as we head into Friday with the Chinese delegation, can you tell me how that unfolded in the market? Is it open last night, and then what happened during the day today?
Well, thanks so much for the heads up, Todd. I think you were one of the first ones on social media to bring that to everyone's attention. Didn't like seeing that, but thanks for the bad news.
Yeah, you're welcome.
The market definitely opened lower in the overnight trade and was under pressure until the wee hours of the morning. But once we established the day trade, the market, I guess, pretty well absorbed most of the bearishness news and kind of worked its way up out of the hole throughout the trading session. The thing is, we did gap lower, and we do have some chart gaps between Friday's low and today's high. It's more evident in the bean chart because we gapped into some new low areas. Whether you're a gap person or not, whether you consider this several different gaps, hopefully this is not a breakaway gap to the downside. If that would be the case, it would, if you flip the sideways trading range and move it down, that suggests $7 beans. But hopefully we can work our way out of the hole here and have some reversals. Technically, we did see a higher close than where we opened last night. If you're a Chinese candlestick person, I believe that's sort of a green sign on there. I'm not much of a candlestick person, but whatever we can find bullish or optimistic, we'll take it for sure. Downside, if we don't hold here, if you go back to 2009, the lead contract low in the bean chart was 786.5. May bean low today was 804, so if we continue to be bombarded with bearish news, we could probably slip another 20 cents. But when you look at the long-term picture, 2009, that's a year that ends in 9. And this is a year of 9, so hopefully we can hold a double bottom and record a 10-year low and get some optimism going the other way, Ty.
Yeah, so a couple of things are yet to happen this week, actually, three that I can think of. Crop progress report this afternoon, and then on Friday morning we'll get the USDA's first look at this year's crop in the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. And Friday, we were supposed to know about what's happening with China and the trade delegation. We could know earlier in the week, depending on how things pan out. But let's start with that crop progress report. What are the expectations for today?
Well, on the crop planting progress, there was some activity in Iowa and some other parts of the country. So last week, we were at 15%. The average trade estimate is about 25% complete as a nation, even though we did not see much headway here in the central part of the Midwest. Last year, we were at 39%, and the average is about 43% complete. And usually this first, second week of May is when we see the most gain in the progress, but the way the forecast is unfolding here, it's probably going to be another week or two yet before a large percentage of the Eastern Belt can get, resume. Bean estimates, 8% planted as a nation. They're looking for a range of anywhere from 6 to 13. Last week we were at 3. I would think the bean number might be a little higher. Seems like guys have been fairly aggressive on trying to get some early beans in. As far as the wheat crop conditions, 64% good to excellent, and that is same as last week, 64% good to excellent. Those will be at 3 o'clock, and we'll kind of see how that unfolds. But what's probably more important is the forecast, which shows a little drier trend next week, but cool.
Indeed it does. And then at the end of the week, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate report due out on Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning. I imagine that Seth Meyer and company there in USDA will have quite a task trying to figure out what the midpoints are going to be, because it's based on current situations, and that's pretty fluid at this point. But do you think that they will take into very much account how much and behind acreage planting is this year, and will that show up?
Well, that's a great question, because I think they'll maybe adjust the planted acre slightly. But past history, we start to adjust harvested acres and see where that kind of falls. Right now, you know, with what we've seen, it looks like 1 to 1.5 million corn acres have been lost, and where that comes in, we'll see. Probably what's more important Friday is whether or not those Chinese delegates get on the plane here, and we see some type of meeting here as we get to Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay, and so one final thing, I think we need to turn our attention to the hog market. I can only guess that while the trade in Chicago for the grains and oilseeds built the indications from yesterday and the negotiations end fairly quickly, that it took a while for the livestock to figure it out, and then hogs turned and went lower. Is there something else that pushed that along?
No, I think it was just the fact that we saw just a lot of enthusiasm. You know, all along and through here, we talked about how well these talks are going, and we're making tremendous headway. And to see this wordage over the weekend, you know, sent a clear signal, hey, we've got a concern. And the trade's been loaded up on the back end of the hogs with optimism that China will come forward to be a big hog purchaser down the road, and just everybody ran to the door at the same time. You got to remember, the livestock sector, the volume's not there. You trade 3,000 to 5,000 contracts of hogs today, whereas you look at the grain volume, you're talking 220,000 contracts. So there was a pool of sell orders up front, about 1,200 contracts. We'll see if we follow through here tomorrow and see if things kind of cool down. The Dow's down about 83, so hopefully we've taken the edge off this whole thing.
It was down 500 or thereabouts earlier in the evening last night, so it has all settled out just a bit. We'll see how the rest of the week goes. Should be interesting. Hey, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Todd Hubbs is here, agricultural economist from the U of I. A lot of developments over the weekend, Todd, but I think maybe let's stick with the fundamentals as opposed to the trade deals at this time, because the fundamentals in soybeans just are plain outright ugly at this point. And the further we get into the year, the uglier they seem to get.
Yeah, it's not pretty. I mean, we've seen some real weakness in soybean prices over the last few weeks, and it mainly revolves around exports and acreage switching. I think is where you're seeing a lot of the bearishness come from. You know, we're way behind on corn planting. I don't think that's going to change today with the crop progress report. We could be upwards of 25% behind what we normally are. That's my expectation. So we look like through large swaths of corn, but another round of rain coming in this week. We're getting out there into the far end of May get planting in, so the idea that there's an acreage switch that may occur is reasonable, I think, out of corn and maybe even wheat into beans. We'll see how it works out. What kind of switch that is yet to be seen. You know, I've been thinking about prevent plant a bit. Now, we're a ways away from prevent plant, but if this kind of weather pattern continues Yeah, it's going to come down to a tough decision for some guys about prevent plant or go ahead and plant if we get close enough to those dates. So I expect big prevent plant acreage this year, maybe not through Illinois, more than normal, but you know, up in the northern plains in particular where they tend to do that more.
Yeah, they're about a month away, I think, at this point on their prevent
plant dates. Yeah, and they're not anywhere close to getting ready to roll from what I've seen. It's still really cold. If you want to plant in that kind of soil temp, go ahead. So we'll see what happens, but I expect big prevent plant acres. So if we do see an acreage shift into beans, yeah, it may get counteracted a little bit by prevent plant, but it's not looking good. And export pace is just slow. I mean, this is our slow time of year anyway, the seasonality of soybean exports. We've seen China buying sort of fade away. There's a few buys they had, and right now they've got about 60% of our outstanding sales. And like you mentioned, with this tweet storm over the weekend, it threw a cat among the pigeons about maybe the trade deal not going forward. It's looking rough. It's really rough. If we don't get a trade deal, right now the USDA has got soybean export at 1.875 billion bushels. We're not going to hit that even with a trade deal. So we're talking well over a billion bushels of carry out for soybeans this year, in my opinion, if the trade deal falls apart.
As you write in today's Weekly Outlook, it appears that we'd have a pretty tough time exporting enough soybeans to make that number anyway. It's like the weekly was 37 million bushels or something along those lines.
Yeah, we would need to do about 36 to 37 million bushels a week for the rest of the marketing year to hit 1.875. That's not going to happen. We've averaged about 18 million bushels over the last month. This is typical of this time of year. Our only hope is that the trade deal gets done and China does a bunch of buying after the trade deal for this marketing year and in the next. There's a few really strong fundamental factors that are going on in the world that make the soybean export market tough. Big crops in South America, their currencies have depreciated massively, so they're trying to unload these big crops. We've even seen weakness in exports out of Argentina when they have this huge currency depreciation. So we've got a big supply, and then we've got the world's major demander with African swine fever, and really not a strong pull on those soybeans into the world's major importer. So we're really in a tough fundamental situation for soybeans. And you know, if the trade deal falls apart, it's just going to get even uglier. And I think everybody's seen a taste today of what a failed trade deal looks like for soybean prices.
Old crop and new crop soybeans both in trouble?
Yes. Old crop, I mean, you could see some recovery, particularly if we don't get the acreage switch we expect and we get some weather problems this summer on new crop, but it transitions back into the old crop price. Old crop's really in trouble. New crop, we've sort of got this hope of a trade deal and maybe not the acres we're seeing maybe come to fruition and possibly some lower yields than we normally do.
Yeah, but you talked about prevent plant. Especially for corn acres, the ratio, corn-soybean ratio, has changed. And I guess that
dramatically over the last month. It was about 2.4 in mid-April on the harvest price, but across the string, basically. And it's down around 2.2, depending on where we close today, but it closed on Friday is around 2.2. That's not really an incentive to plant soybeans, per se. Particularly, if we could see a lot of corn acreage leave due to switching and prevent plant in a lot of places, there's a possibility for corn there, particularly with, I think, what's going to be a sizable part of the corn crop getting planted late, which reduces yield potential. So I think there's some hope there in corn prices, but I don't see it right now for soybeans.
Yeah, you and Scott Irwin had written about the potential for late planting, and I think more than 10% of the crop being planted late or very late, right?
More than 10% more than the average, so we're talking over 25%.
Yeah, 25 to 30% after the 20th day of May.
Yeah, after the 20th day of May, when you see a real yield hit here in the heart of the Corn Belt. That number could get even bigger depending on how weather plays out over the next couple of weeks. You know, if we're going to get rain again this week through a lot of chunk of the Corn Belt, we may be looking at 7 days to plant half the crop if it clears out, and that's a big if.
So there is some hope for corn?
There is. I mean...
Slim?
I think there's some production issues that could really form for corn this year. And now, having said that, South American countries are putting on big corn crops. The safrinha crop's quite large, but we still see decent demand. Ethanol's been a little bit weaker than we'd like to see, and that's another part with the trade deal. I think a lot of the strength we might see in ethanol grind would come from exporting ethanol to a place like China.
How far can that ratio shrink up? So it's 2.2. Can we go much lower than that?
We could. I don't think we will in the near term. I wouldn't be surprised today if it closed out above 2.2, because we've seen corn prices take a bit of a hit today as well. And that's despite what I see as, you know, building production issues on the corn side. So it could. I think you'll see it around that 2.2 level for a while. Now, if the trade deal falls apart, all bets are off about what's going to happen. But I think they'll run down together for a while until we actually get some visual problems with the corn crop.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons. Hey, Greg, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate you taking the time today. But you kind of had a busy day, though. I don't know in what terms. Tell me about it.
Well, it was kind of grief counseling this morning for the most part. Farmers were, you know, not sure exactly why the markets were down as much as they were. And then when, you know, we found out that, you know, the Trump tweets, you know, and is this going to be a new policy, or is this going to be just a negotiating ploy? You know, I don't think the market knows for sure either. The beans were down 25 cents at one point before gaining back half of that and only closing down 12. Corn the same way. We gained back some of what we lost earlier. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty as far as what our stance is on this trade negotiation, and maybe we'll get some resolution by Friday. Maybe we won't, but we certainly were answering phone calls this morning trying to figure out why what happened last night happened.
So let's talk about what's actually happening on the ground. Anything moving in East Central Illinois yet?
Planters sure aren't moving. That's for sure. We're on the sidelines until probably next week at the earliest, and that you know, depends on the weather. As far as grain movement is concerned, yes, we are starting to see a few farmers move grain, corn primarily, just because we can't do anything else at this point. So not translating into selling anything. They're just moving it off the farm and moving it into DP, basically. And so no farmer selling, and I think with this sell-off today, there's not going to be any selling until we get a resolution one way or the other on this trade deal.
From your Iowa and Nebraska offices for the Andersons, have they got movement of planters in their areas?
South of I-80, there's been some corn planted. I think there was one decent day in Iowa last week where they were able to get some corn planted, and they were 21% planted before last week, so they might be 27, 28% planted. Nebraska, also south of I-80, and they had four or five good days last week, so we could see their number. Nebraska might be the state that increases the most when we see those planting progress numbers this afternoon.
And what'd your bids do today?
Basis level stayed unchanged, so that makes old crop corn 342, new crop corn 352, cash beans 786, new beans 793, and new wheat 417.
Hey, thanks so much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. The address there is willag.org. That's Will Ag. RiskPulse.org. Here's what the weather forecast looks like, as the folks from RiskPulse are not available this afternoon to us. In Des Moines, Iowa today, 68 for the high, maybe some rainfall. Same thing for tomorrow, but their high will be 59. More rain on Wednesday, 59 degrees then. Then things clear out for the rest of the week in Des Moines, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Mostly sunny skies, and they'll have highs somewhere between 55 and 69 degrees over that time frame. In Springfield, Illinois this week, today, a high of 76, partly cloudy skies, maybe some rainfall tomorrow and Wednesday, 69 and 79 the high. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, things clear out, partly cloudy skies, 63 on Friday for the high, 66 Saturday, 64 on Sunday. And next week, starting Monday, 69 degrees. In Lincoln, Nebraska, today, a little rainfall. Same thing for Tuesday and Wednesday. Their high today, 68. And then just 56 on Tuesday and Wednesday. That's the same high for both days. They'll drop down into the low 40s. Upper 40s. So not a very big spread in their temperature. They'll be 47 and 46 those two nights. And then things clear out on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Their highs, first part of that, a few days in the low to mid 60s, and then they get up into the low to mid 70s there in Lincoln, Nebraska. Minneapolis, Minnesota today, a high of just 59 degrees under mostly clear skies. Tomorrow, same thing, 63 for the high. Wednesday, maybe a little rainfall. Thursday, 59. Friday, 65. Both are usable days. And then on Saturday, wind on Saturday, 61 degrees. And 66 on Sunday and 73, partly cloudy skies. And 73, that in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Turning our attention to Indianapolis, Indiana now, 77 degrees today. And sunny skies tomorrow, 76, a little rainfall, 81 on Wednesday in Indianapolis. That's the high temps we've seen from the region, 72 on Thursday. Both of those days will have some rainfall, 65 on Friday, mostly clear skies, 68 on Saturday, 65 Sunday, 68 on Sunday, or rather Monday to start the work week in Indianapolis, Indiana. So they've cleared out. Here's the best looking forecast. So the temperatures aren't nearly as high. From today all the way through next Monday in Fargo, North Dakota, partly cloudy skies. The high today, 51, 59, 61 on Wednesday, 59, 67, 59 on Saturday, 66 on Sunday, and by the time they get to Monday, 72. Their lows early in the week, really quite cold, 29, 32. But then Wednesday, 42, 41, 39, 47, 42, and 50 degrees finally on Monday. And one other place to look at in Manhattan, Kansas, 77 today. Rainfall tomorrow, a little rainfall, 65. Wednesday, 69 and rain. And then Thursday, things clear out. They'll have a high of 57 on Thursday, and things start to warm up, 65, 75 on Saturday, Sunday, 68, and on Monday, starting the work week, under partly cloudy skies there in Manhattan, Kansas, with 74 degrees. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.